Welcome to Cronecast. Your hosts, Trudy Callahan and Lisa Austin, are here to encourage you to embrace your inner crone and revel in your wisdom, experience, and intuition. The podcast about women of a certain age for women of any age. This is Cronecast.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to the Cronecast. I'm Trudy Callahan and I'm here with my friend Lisa Austin. How are you today, Lisa?
I am fabulous. I feel buoyant and effervescent today.
Wow, those are good words. I was going on happy and actually I think I'm joyful today.
See, that's also good.
I know.
We're in a good place for podcasting.
We are. So why are we feeling this way today, Lisa?
Well, I think it's because we have a guest.
Yay.
I'm very happy to welcome my friend Sandra Carl, who's a wonderful human and a great thinker, and I'm so glad that she's here. And how long have we been friends now? 3 or 4 years?
Yes, that's how long we've been friends. We've known each other, I would say probably 20 years. But yeah, the pandemic caused an overlapping in our life that
yes, it did.
Allowed for our friendship to grow, and so that was a good thing.
It was a good thing. It is a good thing. You know, one of the things I know we talked about when we first became really good friends is we talked about how special and surprising it is at this age to find a brand new friend who with whom we can create a deep connection. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can talk about that a little bit.
I think for me, part of it is how we look at this stage of our lives is that as you get older, that maybe the making of friendships, the creating of new things belongs to those earlier phases of our life. And yeah. If we're going to go with crone, then in the Celtic world, that'd be maiden and mother. Mm-hmm. And I think we connote getting older with losing things, losing our vitality, losing so many things, losing people, both literally and figuratively. Yeah. And so I think it's surprising when we make something new. We make a new friend. We find a new passion. And I think that's what's powerful about shifting this idea of women in this part of their life where the work of taking care of other people or taking care of your job or taking care of all those situations can move over a little bit for you to embrace becoming more you, that you don't have your need to serve everyone can move over a little bit so that we can be more ourselves and grow the pieces of us that maybe languished in the earlier parts of our life.
Trudy, what do you got to say about that?
Well, we've talked about how in your crone years, you become more yourself.
That's right.
So this is really resonating with me. And and it is a time thing. I think about being a young mom with young kids and, you know, you're growing your career and you're growing your children. And, you know, I always had a dog or two and oh my goodness, there's not time to think. And I'm finding right now I have more time to think. Mm-hmm. And that helps me become more myself.
Well, when you think about it, you and I became friends sort of just a few years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think, our relationship has been another pleasant, unexpected surprise.
Indeed. Very pleasant.
Yes. So far, I've been behaving myself.
But this growth thing, I think there's this notion that when you hit, 60 or 65 or in those years that you're sort of done and you're just coasting. And I'm wanting to continue to grow and learn. And I think I am. You know, in a previous episode, we talked about my friend Brian Webb, who said, but Trudy, your sphere of influence is growing.
That's right.
And that feels good. And I want it to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. I just hadn't thought of it in that way, Sandra.
As the two of you were talking, it made me wonder that when you meet someone in your cronage,
cronage, there's a new word, folks.
and you connect with that person, is it an exponential factor? Like sometimes with when you're, like I think about younger friends, and it's part of it is you're young and stupid and you don't know much. And so it, you know, so it's going through all those mistake parts together that bring you close together. But when you meet someone who is fully formed and you feel that connection, that you can skip over all the superficial stuff,
yeah,
that you can drop in and have a more profound conversation. I mean, Trudy, you and I have met a handful of times, but having a meaningful conversation with you is a very comfortable feeling. It's like our wise women recognize each other and want to learn from each other, to support learning from someone else's journey, their wisdom.
It's that connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is it that we're smarter and wiser and more intuitive, and so we see that?
Yes.
We weren't seeing it before?
Mm-hmm. Let's get to it, you know?
I have a set of friends, a couple who are, they're 10 years older than me. And they for about 10 years now, have been talking about the fact that they are going through some winnowing in mm-hmm. their life. Mm-hmm. And so they've been sorting cupboards and drawers, and they've also been winnowing friendships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, they've got people in their life that were draining them, and they don't want those people anymore. And so I'm still included.
Well done, Trudy.
I know. I made the cut. But it's true. I think I know I'm more focused on wanting to spend time with people that I love and I love being around, and the rest just doesn't matter anymore.
And for me, in part of that journey is the valuing of myself and my time. So those friendships that don't fill you up, even though they could be of long standing, you have to take a hard look at and look at, did this work in its time and its place and its season? Because it obviously did, because it was there for a while. And now doesn't anymore, because you're not the same people. So you can grow together, but you can grow apart. And not a judgment, but a valuing, yeah, of my time and my emotional bandwidth, and of knowing what's reciprocated. Who, that again, I think part of the mother phase of people's life, whether or not they're biological mothers. And again, I was in a caregiving profession. I was a teacher. So there was a lot of that. And then there was a lot of that with aging parents and things like that. And then you get to a point where it's like, do not believe it is my job to take care of that grown-ass person anymore. It's like, if they have not figured it out in the, you know, the 40 years we've known each other, I'm probably not going to be able to help them anymore. And it's not my job to mommy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have to make some hard winnowing kind of decisions so that you can create space to investigate those things that you want to grow into.
You know, I saw a meme online the other day. It's by this account called The Good Quote. And it said, "You've not yet met all the people who will love you."
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And I was thinking about who's left. I want us to talk about that, because that was really like, I talked to my partner about this and I was like, do you think that's true? And she says, of course it's true. And I was like, I couldn't imagine more people coming in who I don't know who I'm going to form these bonds with. Trudy, what do you think?
Well, it immediately makes me think about when I was expecting my second child, because I loved my first child so much. I couldn't imagine that I had love for another one. And then my second one popped out and I loved him, fell head over heels in love with him, and have remained so, you know, in this way that you love your children. And then, you know, I ended up with three stepchildren. I thought, there's no way, there is no way I'm going to love anyone else's kids but my own. Boy, I love them too. And then my
it's like
kids,
there's no end to this stuff.
Getting married. My kids are all getting married. And they think, well, you're not, you know, you're not going to love your in-laws, and then you do. And so I think love is expandable.
Well, I was thinking about this, and, you know, I was in Italy last year, and I know I've hardly talked at all about it in the ensuing year. And I was thinking at the time that I was going to be on a tour, and there was going to be other people on the tour. And I thought, hey, I may make a friend. I thought this is an opportunity to expand that circle, mm-hmm. you know, and because we're having a shared amazing experience.
And you were drawn to the same experience, which is, right. again, I think part of that, how it gets to be quicker. Right? Because I think, again, when we're young, it's like, so you're in school together, you're, you know, join the same club or whatever, and it's, you're just together, and then you start to, yeah, who are my people and who are the people I'm going to avoid? That's mm-hmm. part of the learning you have to do mm-hmm. going there. Mm-hmm. But it's now you're like, okay, there could be another person that I would connect to here because they're clearly drawn to the same thing that I was drawn to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting starting point. And yeah, and I think because we're older, we can skip over a bunch of unimportant stuff.
Right.
If we can shorten
the discovery process.
Yeah. If you, and as, you know, especially because you're on a tour, it's like, it's only so long anyway.
Yes,
so
that's you, right. Yeah.
If you're going to meet, you know, another good friend, you better pitter patter.
I was thinking about another thing that's sort of tangentially related to this. And I was thinking of it in terms of the idea of cronage and agency. And we had a birthday party for my partner's mother a couple of weeks ago. And I noticed that this happens not just in this situation, but with other situations with elderly people, is that they, you know, they come in and they sit down and they have a little bit of conversation, and then they're kind of left in a corner, you know, and everything kind of goes around them. And I was thinking about that in terms of, I have this image when I think about that invisibility we've talked about and that lack of agency, or the perceived lack of agency. I have this image of my being an old woman sitting in a chair in a living room while the party goes on around me. And I was thinking, I want to be in the fray. I want to stay in the fray and, you know, be part of the conversations. And so I'm curious about what you two think about when I say that.
I can't imagine you not in the fray, but okay. So I had to get that part out, but I know what you mean. And I, you know, I cared for my mom, who was in care. She had to be in a dementia wing cause she was a wanderer. And, I saw that very same thing where, mm-hmm. I mean, there were men there as well, but I really paid attention to the women. There's more women in every elder situation because the men die and the women seem to last longer. But I would see that same thing. And so what is it that we need to do to make sure we are part of that fray? Sandra,
thoughts? Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
It's interesting because I think there's some generational things. So your partner's parents would be 30 years older than the average age of the people sitting around this table right now.
Yeah. I mean, they're in their late 90s.
So for a woman of that era, what she was taught was that her opinion didn't matter. She wasn't a contributor to the conversation. It was her job to make sure that everybody else had food and something to drink and were they okay? And my mother was famous for interrupting conversations to offer people more food because that was her job. And so I think that's part of it. Part of it is reflecting on who we were taught to be. And at what point did we decide we were not going to be the women, you know, jumping up when somebody said, it seems like my glass is empty, and that all of a sudden became my job to fill up someone's glass. So in our, you know, couple of generations later growing up, we know what shift had already taken place. Mm-hmm. And then what is our job as crone to reshape the image of what does an aging woman bring to the table?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm always fascinated when we were going out with, again, people who are younger. So now people who are two generations younger than us, and the conversations we have and the things we do. And I think part of it is because that there's a looking at life experience and to go, okay, so when this happened to you, mm-hmm. what did that, and not necessarily to follow that advice, but to glean from someone else's experience. And so I don't think we will be the old women sitting in the corner, because that's not where we ever
have been.
Yes. Don't put baby in a corner is what came to mind. I'm sorry.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a very robust conversation, but Trudy, I understand that you have a confession to make.
Oh yeah, the confession. Okay, so in a previous episode, I said that, you know, according to my Myers-Briggs personality, that I was intuitive. I'm not.
You're not intuitive.
No, I failed that apparently. So now I feel better that somehow...
You've gotten it anyway.
Well, I have it now, but holy, I told you something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the record has been set straight, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm not intuitive.
But you are.
I am now.
Yeah.
But it didn't come naturally. So now I can quit beating myself up over the fact that when I was 19 and 20, I had no clue.
Well, part of that, as I said before, is being 19 and 20.
Yeah, there you go.
Sandra, do you consider yourself an intuitive person?
I would probably say no initially, but that I am also working on that. And that I am trying to get better at noticing when your body sends you signals.
Right.
And being curious about them. I wonder why I feel that. What should I be paying attention to?
Right, exactly.
And so asking, rather than reacting to the physical feeling, oh, that's annoying, you know, X, Y, or Z, I'm feeling this. I don't, you know, like that feeling, or I do like that. Like, it's so it's not judging the feeling, but becoming curious about what the feeling is trying to teach me. Or... just even in general, being less reactive to situations. It's like, huh. Whereas, you know, in the past, I might go, oh, that person is annoying the crap out of me. I will avoid them. It's like, I wonder what made them have this worldview or this opinion that I don't agree with. And so if I'm... Yeah, so to quote Walt Whitman via Ted Lasso, I would like to stay curious and not judgmental. And again, part of, I always leapt to judgment quickly, like, you know. So now I'm working on being a little more curious.
Well, you raised a really important point there, I think, and something we didn't talk about when we talked about intuition, which is the idea of when these feelings come up, experiencing them without judgment. That's like, you know, that, oh, where I'm, you know, deciding that those feelings are worthless or deciding that they're crazy or whatever we might judge those feelings, but just approaching them with, wonder what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of what we also have to be aware of is that we were taught to judge and diminish our feelings, that your feelings mattered less than other people. So as a young girl, that wasn't, again, that's not what you're bringing to the table. That's not what you're here for, to have an opinion, be interesting. You know, it's your job is to make sure everybody else is happy.
The duty part of it.
And that, again, there's this society. Every society is based on the back of women's work, which is undervalued. And our, you know, crone sisters of the past who got to a place where they were like, no, I'm feeling all in myself and in my womanhood and in my personhood. And I don't want to be told what I can and can't do. And then, you know, and then they drowned some of those as they were in a, or burned them as witches. Like, again, it's like being a crone in the good old days was...
not a walk in the park.
Was a big commitment. And I think... And I think sometimes we don't notice that that's still part of our world, too. That, 'cause, you know, we've come a long way, baby. But there's still, and again, in this interesting political times that we live in, where there's this seems to be this falling back to the good old days where we were wicked judgmentally and everybody had their roles. And, you know, that made all the people who benefited from everybody staying in their lane. It's like, it's weird that there's this almost falling back to a previous time where lots of people, including women, their voice wasn't valued.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
So how do we change the world on that starting today going forward?
Well, I think so much of it is about making sure that our voices are heard, and no matter what our age, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that we're in the fray and at the table and saying our piece and saying our truth and speaking truth to power in particular.
Mm-hmm. And encouraging younger women.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things we started talking about early on in our podcasting career here is about imparting our knowledge and experience to those who are younger than us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still have opportunity because I work with so many young women mm-hmm. here, young men too. But, you know, really trying to encourage the young women.
Yeah.
And have them understand that I'm here. I see them. I'm listening, and others are too.
Yeah. So on that note, what a great conversation. My goodness. Sandra, you've added so much to our podcast.
It was super exciting to be talking with both of you.
Thank you for being here. Anybody want to take a stab at the word of the day?
I think the word that leaps to my mind is listen.
Ah.
So part of it is about talking and about sharing, but the other part is, yeah, listening to yourself, to your body. Part of it is listening to younger women and what is their struggle and what can we offer as some possibilities. How do we listen to the world around us and pay attention to overt and subtle messages about who we're supposed to be and how people want us to be in a box. So if we're listening well, then perhaps we can respond more effectively.
Well, that's a great wrap if I ever heard one. Thank you, you two.
Thanks for being here, Sandra.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. It was very fun.
To all of you out there in podcast land, thanks for listening to us once again. We're so glad you joined us, and we're going to see you next time.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Cronecast is produced by Odvod Media, odvod.com. Original music by Darren Hagen. Our podcasts are based on lived experiences. We are not experts in psychology, philosophy, gerontology, or mathematics. It's just a conversation between friends. We podcast from Edmonton, Alberta on Treaty 6 territory. Find us at cronecast.ca.